B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
All right, so I guess this means we're on. It's a hell of a transition. Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the, we're all over the place. If you've been listening with any regularity, you know that. You know, when you watch Felgren Maz, you watch Zoe and Beadle. Well, Zoe and Beadle have been down in Foxborough for the most part these last couple of weeks for Patriots training camp. Otherwise, we're at the temporary Town Fair Tire Studios in Needham at the NBC Sports Media Center. And then sometimes we're here in this old, gross, decrepit building here in Dorchester, which the last time I did this very show, sans Gasper, Ted Johnson, a few weeks back, I was like, well, this will be it. I'll never have to be back in this decrepit building in this horrid area ever again. But nope, you know, things happen. And, of course, my headphones are barely working here. And so here I am today. And Gasper should be along here momentarily. As I said yesterday when he made his usual Friday appearance on Felgren Maz, this very show, it's rare. It's like the 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle. Old baseball card heads know. But then again, baseball cards are in again, so maybe a lot of the audience knows. They're a great investment. They're not. But it's very, very rare, that card. In this show, very rare when Chris and I do it together. But we're here together, when he gets here, for the next 3 hours. If you want to join us at any point, 617-779-0985. Bear with me here. B-Rob, do I have you? I can barely hear
I'm here. Sorry, I'm talking with Joe, but I'm here.
Say again?
I was talking with Joe. Sorry if you called it from me earlier.
No, I'm just calling for you now because you got to give me a second here. There might be like 10 seconds of dead air because I'm trying to figure out the headphone jack here. It's like I'm on acid. I'm hearing it in and out, one ear, left ear, right ear. Hold on a sec. Audience, hang on. Here we go. Let me try this
now. You got this.
Aha! All right, here we go. Now I can actually hear myself. See, things are falling apart around here. Well,
1 week left.
1 week left, B-Rob. How you been, pal?
I've been good, man. Just trying to survive this heat.
Yeah. Is it really driving you crazy?
It's real. I was down the Cape, and it was still even like 85, 90 degrees down there this last week.
I got to say, I don't really mind it. I know that, there's a certain part of the population that is all freaked out. This is climate change. We've got to, get into the Green New Deal. This is a problem. This is the summer. This is the first real summer we've had in a long time. Do you remember last July? Do I need to remind you people? It basically rained every single day. That's not supposed to happen in the summer. We're having this heat. Enjoy it. Because come, I don't know, early, mid-December, you're going to be losing your mind about the cold. You don't want to deal with the snow, the ice, the slush, all that. Enjoy it. Just crank the AC a little bit. If you don't have good AC working in your apartment or home, get in your car, crank it, and then go get an ice cream. It's okay. The summer's okay, B-Rob. It's all right. I know. You know, it can be tough for the children. You have a baby. You know, it's a lot for the kids to deal with, too. Take them to a pool. You go rent it. Swimply. Do you know about Swimply, B-Rub?
I've used it over. I use it over the winter, Jim.
I should be getting a cut from Swimply. If you don't know what it is, it's basically like the Airbnb of pools. People, rich people that have pools that have decided maybe I'm in over my head on what I've purchased here for a home, and this pool has decided I'm going to put this up and rent it for a few hours to someone like me or B-Rob and his family so you can go hang out at the pool for a couple of $100 for an hour. It's great. I can't recommend it enough. Day like today, go on to Swimply. There's pools all over the New England area. Bing, bang, boom, couple of $100. You go hang out for a couple of hours. Don't ask me how it works in terms of insurance and whatnot, but I know that it works, and it's great. So there you go. Another tip from your pal, Big Jim, here. Swimply. Download the app. Get it. Works great. Other than that, what to exhaust? I feel like we have exhausted most of the topics throughout the week on Felgren Maz. I don't really know what I'm hot on. I will say this, and I don't know if you can maybe find this in carts. I haven't had an opportunity to see what's in there, but I was listening to Jimmy Stewart, who was on for 5 hours last night after producing Felger and Maz. He's on with Sean Silver.
What a legend.
He is. Yeah, he's really grinding out there, doing a full show, booking guests. And one of those guests was NFL Network's Mike Giardi, who was down at Gillette Stadium last night for the in-stadium scrimmage, practice, whatever you want to call it. And there's obviously been a lot of concern about how the Patriots' offense has looked at training camp thus far as they're trying to implement this new Kyle Shanahan-esque offense. The offensive line has had a hard time picking it up. Wide receivers not getting the separation they should be getting. Mac Jones frustrated. So a lot of people concerned, rightfully so, as they're trying to implement this new offense with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge at the helm. So I tuned in last night, John, not just because I wanted to hear how Jay Stu and his show was going, but I was like, okay, he's going to have Mike Giardi on. He was going to do a report from the stadium, and let's see how it looked. Maybe, you know, now that the crowd is going to be there. The crowd's been there during the week, but this felt like it was going to be like a up-tempo scrimmage. It was going to be more about like what we're going to see in this first preseason game. And I don't know if you found that sound, but Mike Giardi did not sound optimistic about what he saw last night at Gillette Stadium. And have you been able to find that, B-Rob?
Everything right now. We're just waiting for this computer to load.
Okay. Yeah. Of course, everything here is run. It's like everything is being run with hamsters on a wheel. Of course. Anyway, the gist of it is this. It still stinks. And so, look, I don't know how this is going to work. You know, it really comes down to if you're going to implement the Kyle Shanahan offense, the Sean McVay type offense, and I know we've talked this till we're blue in the face, but I don't think it'd be talked about enough because I think it's maybe the biggest concern, not just locally with any of the teams here, but like in all the NFL going into 2022, seriously, outside of like this tendonitis in the elbow of Matt Stafford, which would be a big concern if you were a Rams fan. I'm just thinking like and from a national standpoint, what are the talking points? Matt Stafford, the elbow. Is Joe Burrow going to be all right after having the appendectomy with the Cincinnati Bengals? Team just went to the Super Bowl. A lot of high hopes there for that team. But this thing here with Bill Belichick and the Patriots kind of, if I'm being kind, looking a little bit wonky since Tom Brady left, won the Super Bowl, trying to find their way. You draft a new quarterback, but you see what the upside is. First round, 15th overall. They make the playoffs last year. It feels like they've got something. In his all-important second year, you're surrounding him with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Is like these are going to be his offensive coordinators in a new offense, and an offense that typically requires a mobile quarterback for it to work at its best. And Mac Jones, I don't think that's certainly not his. He does not have those physical attributes, right? So he's more a cerebral type of guy. I don't doubt that he'd be able to pick this kind of stuff up, but why cram this in his all-important second year when you're hoping he's going to make some kind of leap when you're doing it with these two guys that were defensive-minded coaches, former head coaches that flamed out in their respective teams, in this offense that just doesn't fit him? It doesn't make any sense, and you can't talk about it enough. Have you found that sound, B-Rub? All right, so, you know, how did it look last night? Is this more up-tempo? Go ahead, Mike Giardi.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network. What or who popped for you? What was the most positive thing that you saw out there?
Can I pause? I don't know that anything really jumped off the page from a positive standpoint.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, well, look, this drum is getting beaten quite a bit and loudly. The first team offense looks very uncomfortable. The quarterback does not look very decisive in this new offense. I don't think he's getting a lot of help from the people around him, meaning players. There were several times tonight where looking down and like he's running around because everybody's manned up and not open. You know, maybe there were a couple points last year during training camp when you felt some indecisiveness on Mac's part as he was learning a new offense and being a pro. But I didn't really expect that this is what we'd be seeing in year two. And I think the change of offense and some of the stuff they're doing is just not caught on yet. And, you know, it's probably too early to press the panic button, but you want to see some improvement and you want to see it happen quick because, you know, first preseason game's Thursday. I don't know how much Mac will play in that, but you'd like to see some positive traction from this offense. And it hasn't been that way pretty much all of camp.
I don't think it's too early to push the panic button. Again, I'm not there last night. Mike Giardi was, and this is yet another voice, along with Ted Johnson, who's been down there at training camp, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, Phil Perry, this is, everyone is like, this isn't working. And so, and I think Chris, and hi Chris.
Hey.
In his all important second year, that if you're going to be doing this, it's just, you know, it's one of the great life lessons I got from my dad. If you're going to do something, do it right. So if you want to implement this Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay type of offense, wouldn't you want someone who's, oh, I don't know, actually worked within that system rather than downloading the PDF of how to do it and then handing it to these two dopes? Like, that's what this really is. I've watched some YouTube tutorials. Now I'm a pro. I know how to do it. No, you don't. So in this scrimmage last night, to hear Giardi say this last night with Sean Silver and Jimmy Stewart, I heard this. I'm like, it's just another bad night for the Patriots offense. So, you know, full capital P panic? No, but small P panic? I don't think it's too early to feel that way.
I don't think it's too early
worked.
Either, and I'll tell you why. Because I think the single most encouraging thing you had going for you coming into this season was Mac Jones. And now to hear that and to see the couple of practices I've gone to that, you know, Mac Jones doesn't look like he's made significant progress, doesn't look like he's making a leap, that is disconcerting. And, you know, I basically was in the camp sort of, look, if you're a great quarterback, it doesn't really matter who the coaches are. These guys, they can't mess him up that bad. I think I might have been wrong.
Yeah.
And I wasn't factoring in that they would come in and try and change the system. And what's, I think, alarming about this is, well, are they changing the system because Bill did some big study and was like, this is a great offense, even though we stuffed it and made it look like crap in the Super Bowl against the Rams. And, you know, Jared Goff was running around like a chicken with his head cut off, had no clue what to do when Daddy McVay couldn't tell him exactly where to go with the ball. Is that what Bill came up with? Or is it just like, hey, I got these two coaches. Neither one of them has been an offensive coordinator. I need a simplified offense that they know that they can teach where they don't look like clowns with the players.
And while you're saying this, too, I can't help hear this. Is B-Rob, does Chris's microphone sound like how it's coming in through
my
ears?
Yeah, it does not. I was going to say, Chris, change your mic spot.
Oh, boy. Okay, you want me to change my mic spot now?
I don't think
this
it's
is
a
just my day, huh?
This sounds like the Children's Mighty Echo microphone.
Have does it seen? Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Actually, that sounded a little bit better.
Yeah, if I lift it up, is that better?
No.
Still not great.
No, we're going to have to...
Still not great? You want me to switch mics in this temporary studio?
I don't know.
This unmarked temporary studio?
Is this your first time in here?
This is my first time in here.
Yeah,
yes.
I'd nice, say huh? Go to the other mic.
Yeah, this is great. This is great with a capital G. Maybe I should have stayed out on the roads with all the streets that were blocked off and just circled around for 3 hours.
You might have been better off doing a call-in if this is what it's going to sound like.
Maybe, I've become pretty adept at the Zoom thing. Why don't we just ride this out to the break, and then I'll switch mics before I trash this whole place.
This is, you know, look, I get it. You know, I'm trying to keep calm here. You know, we're going through a transition. It's a lot of work for a lot of people. But, boy, this is, well, you know what? I will say this.
Yeah.
What we're going through right now, how this sounds. It's it's the American way. It's half-assed. So, you know, I guess this is kind of par for the course.
I've never seen a mic angled the way this mic is angled, by the way.
I just don't understand why it sounds the way that it does.
Yeah, I don't.
Everything
I don't
looks
either.
Plugged in.
It is all plugged in, right? I figured it was just my headphones because I'm like, man, this sounds really bad. No, but I'm like, I guess it's just my janky headphones.
That's how it sounds.
And it's, you know, and any time that anyone sends a podcast, hey, will you critique this, listen to it? Sure. The first thing that drives me crazy is like, okay. Use a real microphone. If you want to do this and you want people to listen to it, just make the investment to buy a good microphone, a decent enough mixer, and then put it out there.
Yeah. Where would you find that type of stuff, Jim?
You could go to Guitar Center, or you could go to, you know, you can find the stuff on Amazon, online, Musician's Friend. You know, they're great. BNH Video, Audio and Video in New York. Those guys are great, too. There's plenty of places I could recommend where you can find a decent enough microphone and a setup, good XLR cables. So, but this sounds like everything that I hate. Because it sounds amateurish and half-assed. So, I'll tell you what. We'll break a little bit early here. Then we'll get back to trashing or being concerned about the Patriots offense and how it's looked thus far last night at the scrimmage at Gillette Stadium. And we'll try to troubleshoot here and try to figure out what's going on with the microphones, the headphones, and everything else as we start a bumpy Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Big Jim Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Trial by error. Let's try it now. Welcome back, Gasper and Murray, from the dump of a studio that we're in temporarily until
we go to the new digs. Is this better?
Oh, so
is
much
better?
Better. Yes.
Right? Oh, that sounds better?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you That's sound good. Like extra boomy bassy, too.
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I was curious because just the way this is set up, I was like, oh, is this the way real radio people do it? They stand? Because all these mics are set up to stand.
Yeah. So you just got to loosen them up. Hey, you're comfortable, though? It's not too much lean?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
This is, I mean, it's weird. I feel like we're sitting on an Amtrak train the way we're facing each other. This is bizarre.
But we could do the Pat McAfee style and stand. You know, I would get myself like a basketball jersey type shirt or one of those type of things. Like just, you know, bro down like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is how we do it. Yeah, coming up next, we're going to talk to Aaron Rodgers. Hey, A-Rod, what's it been like on the ayahuasca, bro? I shouldn't rag on him too much. He's been very successful. Made
yeah,
a
he really
money.
Has. It's just a ton of money.
The show's just not for me. I get
it's
all subject. No, it's just a little too grab-assy, a little too bro. Yeah, like you've been investing in Bitcoin too, A-Rod? What's it been like? What's the summer been like? Ayahuasca, that's rad.
Ugh. He's cashing those checks, though.
Unbelievable.
And now he's doing WWE.
Guy just making so much money.
Yeah.
But yes, you know, and I think about it, too. When I was at points when I worked in music radio, yeah, I would stand.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. This is coming up next. More coming up on Rock 101. Yeah, no, I would stand.
Right?
Stand, maybe it's not too bad. I'm a little.
I feel like that's how the real professionals do it, right?
Yeah. Didn't Big O used to do it? Like this? I think Ordway used to stand during the Big Show era, too.
But like Matty, you know, Matt Siegel, Matty in the Morning, didn't he stand? I feel like most of the greats.
Sitting on a pile of money is what he was doing before he was unceremoniously forced out. That's just my opinion on what happened there. It just seemed like that was stupid. Anyway, here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports, are back on that Patriots offense. And we'll talk about whatever. At this point, I was starting to say before you came in, Chris, like, I feel like I personally have exhausted everything I've wanted to talk about these last couple of weeks. It's why I try not to work in the summer. It's the dead zone. There's not much going on, but at least training camps have started up. So there is something to talk about there. The Red Sox, they're cashed. I think they're done. Mathematically, they're still in it. There's a path. Please. My eyeballs work. I've seen that team. And in Celtic stuff, like, are they going to go try to get Durant? I don't know. That thing feels like it's died on a vine. So Patriots offense, concerns, they are real after this scrimmage.
Yeah. You want to do a breakdown of Bruin's wedding attire?
Oh, no, yeah, that thing, too. Like, why haven't they signed? Is Bergeron going to be back? Is Krejci going to... They're going to stink, too. Like, we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. Everyone's going to be injured until, like, December. They'll probably make the playoffs, squeak in, and get waxed by a real team in the first round. There's your story and outlook on the Bruins.
But they'll always have the weddings, Jim.
Right.
You know, we'll always have Paris. We'll always have these weddings.
They do know how to party. All right, so, again, I was saying, like, and I don't think we can exhaust this enough, though, the being concerned about the Patriots offense, surrounding Mac Jones, second year, all-important sophomore jump, where we've seen it for Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, even suckbags like Carson Wentz, who was on an MVP track in 2017 before he got hurt in his all-important second year. So, I just think that they're hanging this kid out to dry. I think the frustration is starting to pour out. You heard from Jay Stu's phone yesterday that, you know, he feels uncomfortable with where this thing is headed.
Underwhelmed by the Patriot experience.
That's what the line was. Underwhelmed by the Patriot experience. And so that, again, last night, in front of, you know, the season ticket holders that wanted to go out there in that heat last night and watch this, and I get the excitement for the new season, but every single day it's something, and it's something with the offense. And it feels to me like so far from what we've heard and what we've read from those that are there day in, day out watching this, they're kind of hanging the kid out to dry a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel that way. And why would you change an offense that he was successful in and that he seemed to be about as good a fit for as any young quarterback you're going to find? His real strength is his ability to process quickly, deliver the ball accurately. The one thing I'm not sure they factored into switching to this, or at least implementing a lot of this Shanahan-McVay style offense, is if you go and look at the teams that have run that offense, like when Shanahan was running it, he ran it in Cleveland under Mike Pettine and it wasn't super successful. He ran it other places and it wasn't super successful. But then he goes to Atlanta, right? And it's pretty successful. And it's funny, when you think about Atlanta and that receiving core, they're pretty good. They had a guy by the name of Julio Jones.
Right.
They had like real weapons. when McVay runs it, he has like real guys to throw to. Have they ever thought, do you think for a second that Belichick thought, oh man, this offense, like, if you switch to this offense, unlike the one we've run for two decades with Brady and now Mac Jones, where the quarterback can make the receivers better, if you run this offense and it's simplified, that means it's also simplified for the defense, which means you need talent and a lot of it in your pass catchers. Do you think they ever consider that?
So, yeah, I get where you're going with this, but what about DeVante Parker? Is that, you know, part of
it? He's looked good.
Yeah.
He's looked good, and I don't think that's a coincidence, but I'm just saying, like, for this offense to work, and Kendrick Bourne played in this offense in San Francisco for Shanahan, but for this offense to work, like, name me off the top of your head where this offense has really, really worked without pretty good pass-catching weapons. Like, even when Arthur Smith was running, like, a variation of it in Tennessee, they had A.J. Brown. Like, where is this offense excelled without a really good number one receiver type?
Yeah, it's just, no, it's a good point. And even looking at that 16 roster for the Falcons, it wasn't just Julio Jones. It was Mohamed Sanu before he sucked.
And it was the fast guy, the little guy that could really run.
Right, that was kind of burning them a little
bit.
Who was that? Let me try to find this here. But either way, I mean, they had legitimate, you know, speed and weapons.
Yes.
And so much of this is predicated on speed, and it does feel like, okay, yeah, like you said, Kendrick Bourne, he's worked in it. And DeVante Parker, you know, while his injury concern, I think his speed is beneficial for this type of offense. But it does feel like it's just kind of patchwork. And again, it comes down to this. If you're going to do it right, right?
Yeah.
And so it makes no sense to me that, they've downloaded the PDF file, watched some YouTube clips. Yeah, we know how to do it now. No, I think if you want to do it, you actually would have hired someone, one of these underlings that worked under Shanahan or McVay in one of these systems, and it would work better, and I think Mac Jones would feel more comfortable.
Well, the other thing I'll say, though, and I agree with you in terms of the underling thing, and you can find those guys, right? You can bring them in. But the other
Zach Taylor was, right?
Exactly. But the other element of it, if you look at all those and you look at it as well, right? Matt LaFleur was one of those underlings too. But almost all those guys, when they become the head coach, don't they run the offense? LaFleur,
right.
Taylor, McVay, Shanahan. I mean, you have an offensive coordinator, but the head coach runs the offense. So that's another element of that system. If you're going to run it, then maybe the head coach needs to run it. They oftentimes don't defer to the offensive coordinator that much. They're in charge of that offense. So here's the thing with the offense I feel they didn't plan for. One, you need someone who knows how to execute it. Two, you need real talent at receiver. And three, you probably need your head coach to actually be calling the plays and be heavily involved in the offense, which I think Bill's more involved than he's been in the past, but heavily involved to the level of those other coaches. I don't think so.
Taylor Gabriel is the wide receiver
yes,
we were thinking
that's
about.
That's the guy.
All right, so we'll go to you early and often here, especially if you were there last night. I would like to actually hear your observations if you were at the Patriots scrimmage, if you're a Patriots season ticket holder, because a lot of it was like all flowery and glowing. But again, and we'll replay this out, to hear Mike Giardi, who was there and who got on after it ended with Jimmy Stewart and Sean Silver last night, he was like, yeah, no, it still stinks. So he says, look, not time to panic. I get it. It's practice. They're working this through, but it just feels like, hey, you only got a few weeks here before the actual season starts. And let's not forget that first month, you got a tough road here. And it just would feel like, to me, I don't think that it would like hurt Belichick's legacy or anything, but I do think that it might be getting a little bit hot under the collar for him. Look, again, these few seasons now since Brady's left, he's been successful. You really haven't made the playoffs last year. You get waxed. I just don't know why you would say, well, this will work eventually. And Maz pointed out, but you said, look, that was still being run by Kyle Shanahan. And look at the weapons that Matt Ryan had. 2015, when Shanahan went to the Falcons, wonky year for Matt Ryan. Following year, MVP, ends up going to the Super Bowl. They lose 28-3 to the Patriots. Ha ha. But if you're Belichick, I just don't think you have that kind of time to do that. Say, okay, it's going to work eventually. This season might go a little bit sideways, but this is what we're going to do. If it's going to be this bad, the way it's looked so far, last night through camp, I think you got to pull the plug at some point. I don't think you have time to have it try to work its way out through 2022, you know?
Well, I think what's interesting, again, we've heard in the past that the Patriots look at it and look at the first four games of the regular season and say, okay, this is a little bit of a laboratory to figure out what works for us and what doesn't. That worked with Tom Brady, because if you went 2-2 or you went 1-3, you could still win 12 or 13 games. Does Bill still feel like he can do that? He might. He might still feel like he can do that the same way he felt during the 2020 season that without Brady and bringing in Cam Newton, that they could still, you know, win double digit games. It might be something he has to learn the hard way, but I don't see them junking this anytime soon. I really don't. I think that there's, if they've invested in this to the degree that we've been led to believe they have by people who've been there, that means they spent a lot of the offseason researching it and downloading said PDF and watching said YouTube tutorials. And if there's anything about, you know, people who are accomplished and smart, and even those who are not, but just happen to be of the male species, if they sunk a lot of time into something, they'll keep sinking time into it, even if it's going to be a massive failure.
That's true. You know, that's definitely like dumb guy mind.
Correct.
All right. So if you were there last night, I'd like to hear from you on that at 617-779-0985. Like pretty much everything else so far, the call screen are not working that well. I have mystery callers on line one and two. Hey, what the hell? Let's give it a go. Mystery caller, you're first up here on Gasper and Murray. Hello.
Hey, guys. Quick question for Gasper. I have a quick question for Gasper, but first I want to say God bless Jimmy Stewart's phone, because it really puts into perspective all the wailing baby Patriots fans mad about Brady, quote-unquote, cheating on Belichick in year 20, when we hear that Max apparently looking, you know, eyeing the door going into year two. But that's beside the point. Chris, this is more for you. It seems to be the consensus that even after this whole all this details about the tampering stuff has come out, that Brady would still be willing to go to the Dolphins next year, which I can respect just out of spite. But wouldn't that be reliant on the team Dolphins, that is, being a complete disaster this year? Because if they're decent to good, which seems likely, maybe they can move on from Tua, because maybe they can argue he's the missing weak link. But are they going to really blow out their first year new hip coach for Sean Payton? And if they don't, is Brady going to want to go work with that McVay Shanahan offense and not go with the guy he was hoping to team up with? Because it makes it seem like half the reason why he was interested in going there is impossible. So, I mean, maybe he is, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks, no, mystery caller.
It's an interesting point. You know, if Sean Payton and Brady obviously share the same agent in terms of Don Yee, I wouldn't say that Sean Payton's offense is an offense that Brady's familiar with, but if we've learned anything from Tampa, it's Brady gonna Brady, which basically means, like, I show up, I run my offense, you reap the dividends. So I would think that any coach, whether it's Sean Payton or Mike McDaniel, would be smart enough to know that. Maybe McDaniel can mix in some of his own concepts or whatever, but I think you'd be smart enough to just turn that thing over. I would not rule out Brady going there if he keeps on playing, just because on paper, I think that team is pretty good other than the quarterback. And they brought in Cedric Wilson. They brought in Tyreek Hill. If Brady came and they somehow kept Mike Gesicki, he'd have some weapons there. And that would be fun. And that's where G wants to be. That's where they're probably going to settle. They built the house post-playing career. So I still wouldn't rule him out going there in the end.
I saw it today. So I haven't really been paying that much attention to what's going on in their camp. I mean, I'll wait to be watching their games, obviously, and I'll be pulling for him. Shocker. But it's not like I'm watching what's going on in the day-to-day camp. He had been out for like the last few days, and apparently people were starting to be like, no, hello, this is how it kind of was here at the end too. You know, like,
yeah,
he half-asses it.
Yeah.
But you don't really have to worry about him.
What was he out with? I didn't realize he was out either.
Personal day or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's just kind of like, this is boring. I don't want to do this.
I have
Brady golfware to sell.
Or maybe there's something, you know, I don't know if you've paid attention to the birthday messages between him and Giselle, because, you know, obviously Brady turned 45.
Yeah, a little cold, huh?
I'm not the only one that thinks this, right?
Cold maybe is not the right word.
No, they're cold.
Kind of like perfunctory and businesslike.
Yeah.
It's like literally like they both handed their phone to the assistant and were like, type out a birthday message for Tom. Type out a birthday message for Giselle.
So that wasn't just me.
No.
It felt like a work email.
It did.
Happy birthday to you, my love, Mia Moore. Happy birthday to you, too.
You are one of the most disciplined people I have ever met.
Still having fun after all these years. Heart emoji. It's just based on some of their lovey-dovey crap in the past. Again, we have to read into the social media. This is how we do these things nowadays. I'm glad I'm not alone there. I looked at both of those. I was like, trouble in paradise? And there has been in the past, if you believe the rags while you're waiting in line to pay for your groceries. So maybe something.
Well, I mean, we all know. Look, she can't be thrilled that he's
right.
He's doing this 45. I mean, all you have to do is go back to Tom versus Time when they're interviewing him, and he's talking regularly, and they're like, "How much longer do you want to play?" And he's like, he looks frantically to see if she's within earshot, and he's like, "I think 45."
Yeah, right. Prank call.
Yeah, you know, it's like his voice gets real low, like, Yeah, 45. I think that's it. Can she hear me? No, she's over there. I think 45.
What did you say? What? cameras off. Cameras off. Cut the mics.
Yeah, exactly. And also in that thing when she's like, oh, I think his first love is football and it's not even close. Yeah.
And he looks like behind her. Well, if someone had a real hot take, a bold take for going into the 2022 season, that would be Colin Cowherd of FS1 as it pertains to the Patriots. Yeah. If you haven't heard this yet, I will play that sound for you next.
Does Cowherd stand? No. With the TV show?
No. He sits. You've seen his setup. It's hysterical.
Okay.
He sits like a king above everyone. I think, is it Joy Taylor that is still his co-host?
I think
or is
so,
it,
yeah.
No, he's he hovers over whoever is in that two chair like a lord. That's the way it should be. That's how Felger should sit over us like that. I am sports radio king here in New England. Bow to me. If I had that kind of juice, I would demand that kind of setup.
I know I haven't seen you in a while, so it's like
it's been like a month and a half.
I just kind of want to talk, and I know we have to do a radio show. But boy, I heard the five questions the other day, and I was like, oh man, Jim's going to get Felger suspended. This is going down the wrong road. Like the question one. He was flirting with the suspension.
You're just like the third person to say that to me. I was saying, because he kind of wanted to blame the old man.
He did.
Who sailed over in the boat. Yeah.
He capsized. Yeah, he kind of wanted to rip that guy. And it was like, oh, no. Like, yeah. Here we go. Yeah.
No. We've done this before. Shh. No. Take back your real feelings. Hey, you want to join us? 617-779-0985. That sound from Lord Cowherd next.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper. Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Number three, big, bold prediction. Bill Belichick retires at the end of the season. First of all, retirement's weird. He likes to golf. He's got a house in Jupiter, Florida, and a beautiful girlfriend. Nice round number of 70. He hasn't named coordinators. He's got kids on the staff. The reality is Bob Kraft and Belichick have always had a little bit of a turbulent relationship. Kraft was close with Brady. Every book you read about New England, Kraft tolerated a lot of the surliness of Belichick. They were 28th ranked in passing. Devontae Parker helps a little. I don't think they're close to Buffalo. Belichick doesn't necessarily love what's happened in the league where players have more power and defense isn't as important. 70 is a good round number. I think they finish third. He walks off into the sunset to his beautiful Jupiter, Florida home. Golfs is a highly paid consultant for the league, but it's going backwards. Weird, wonky, reached on a lot of draft picks. I think Belichick retires as the greatest coach of all time after another 9-8 year.
Bold prediction. One of many from Lord Cowherd. Colin Cowherd of FS1. It was a part of a segment that he was doing, like bold predictions for the upcoming 2022 NFL season. But there is a part of me, Chris, it's Gasper Murray, together again for the first time in like a month and a half here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Don't get used to it. I'm out the next couple of Saturdays. Mike working now?
I might be out too if I have to come back to this studio. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you might want to push this off for a few weeks. He is informed. Say what you will about Cowherd, and I know he has his detractors, but I do look. He talks to agents. He's the guy's one of the kings of sports media, right? Like, so I do think that he hears things. So maybe there is like a grain of truth. Maybe he's heard something of that. I just think that there. I don't think you can hear that to me and be like, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. I don't know. Maybe he's heard something. Do you think that could happen? Say the season goes sideways. It does feel like he is setting up either his sons or Matt Patricia. You hear, at least from Jay Stu's phone, and I don't know if you've heard the same thing, that the Crafts really like Matt Patricia for whatever the hell reason. So maybe they're trying to groom him to be the next head coach. If this season kind of sucks, or he's at least, look, they It doesn't go the way that they want it, but they've implemented the offense enough. You've seen some growth from Mac Jones. Could you maybe see him walking away after this season?
I would be hard-pressed. I mean, Bill's so competitive, and he's so close to Shula. And the other element of this is I find it hard to believe he's going to feel like after this one season, everything's just set up for him to walk away. If he really feels that way, then wouldn't you just play one more season to see if you can win that Super Bowl without Brady, which is the ultimate, you know, forget you, right? So I have a hard time envisioning this. I do think it means something to him to leave this organization on really good footing. I always reference the Bill Walsh book, The Winning Edge. It's a book that Bill's talked about for years, both publicly and privately. It's a book he urges people to read if they want to learn about football. A big part of the legacy of Bill Walsh is that he left the 49ers as the head coach. Walsh admitted later on he left too early, but he left them in such a position where they were still perennial contenders and their, you know, dynasty continued on without him. I think that's something that Belichick would very much like to emulate.
Do you have any bold predictions for this upcoming season? Not even if it pertains to the Patriots.
It's like an NFL ambush.
It's an NFL ambush. You know I'm good for these. Yeah.
You are.
Where'd that come from? Behind the bush.
Bold predictions for this season?
A team that you think might be slept on or player could make a push.
This is such
Liars, because I have one.
You do?
And I hate to say it because I hate the team.
Okay.
I think the Eagles are going to be in the NFC Championship game.
Really? The Eagles?
Remember, that first half in that playoff game, the wild card game against the Bucs last year, was kind of frisky and competitive. That defense is solid. They've added to that. That offense ostensibly should be better. They trade for A.J. Brown, so that's another weapon for Jalen Hurts. It really all hinges on Hurts. Now, this is where the bias comes in. I'm a Hurts guy. I'm a Jalen Hurts guy. He's got the athleticism to help them win games. If he can make any kind of leap in terms of their passing game. I got egg on my face with Nick Sirianni. I thought he was a dope, and I thought he was already proved himself to be way too much of a player's coach, showing up wearing, like, you know, Crush the Cowboys t-shirts, and he's wearing a Jalen Hurts t-shirt so far. But I think maybe, I don't know, in today's NFL, that's a good thing for a lot of guys to be more relatable to your players.
Yeah.
Suck division, defense better, more weapons for Hurts. I think Hurts makes a little bit of a leap. NFC Championship game for the Eagles. That's my bold prediction for 2020.
I'm trying to think of a bold prediction that I have because you gave me a little time here. Here's my bold prediction. The Minnesota Vikings will win the NFC North.
Really?
Not the Packers, yes.
With Kevin O'Connell as the new head coach?
Kevin O'Connell is two of my quarterback binkies. Kevin O'Connell, who I believe I once wrote about him that he was this is probably one of the worst things I ever wrote, but I think I once wrote about him that he was John Elway-esque.
Yeah.
That never came to fruition. And obviously Kirk Cousins, who, you know, I think more highly of than most people. I just think that team has a lot of talent. Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook healthy. And if you take Devontae Adams away from weirdo Aaron Rodgers now, I think that Minnesota will end up winning that division.
That's bold. And I'll tell you, so the Packers, look, their defense is actually, I think, kind of slept on a little bit.
Yeah, you're right.
You
think those corners can replicate what they did last year, though? Like Rasul Douglas, like coming out of nowhere. Speaking of the Eagles, like basically off the scrap heap of the Eagles who have been looking for corners forever.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's a star in Green Bay.
Alexander's legit.
Yeah, Jair Alexander.
He's very good. But the thing is have you looked at their depth chart at wide receiver? So obviously they lose Adams in that trade to Vegas. And hey, good for Aaron Rodgers. He gets that mountain of money, but I think he hates playing there, and he certainly hates that GM. Who's he going to throw to? Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, the ghost of Randall Cobb? I think it's... So here's something not bold. That's the worst wide receiving core in the NFL. And maybe some young guy pops.
This Romeo Doubs kid.
Yeah.
I think it's Doubs or Dubs or whatever his name is from Nevada. He's been talking him up.
Yeah, well, he's got to talk someone up because the rest of these guys are like retreads. You know, Sammy Watkins, who I liked, and that's my I couldn't have been more wrong about guy. Watched him at Clemson, saw him live once. I'm like, this guy's got to be the best wide receiver in the NFL since like Jerry Rice. You watch. Not so much. Decent enough, but like injury prone. Like, yeah, so maybe that's a detriment there, so they're not going to end up winning the division. That could happen. I could see it. I like your bold prediction. The Vikings win the NFC North.
It's pronounced Dobbs, apparently.
Dobbs. How's it spelled?
It's D-O-U-B-S.
That's Dubs.
He says it's Dobbs.
It's like Brian Bayo. It's Bello. If you're going to spell it that way, we're...
No, but in Spanish, the two L's is a Y. It's pronounced, so it is Bayo. It's a different language.
All right, well, I see some of you hanging. Your name's on there on the call screener? Who's to say? I don't know. So mystery callers coming up. You want to talk Patriots, your concerns about the offense. Maybe you were in Gillette Stadium for the scrimmage last night. You have a bold prediction for the NFL for 2022. Chris says Vikings win NFC North.
I almost want to say Cousins MVP, too.
Oh, go bolder. Yeah, spice it up even more.
I want to say it.
Kirk Cousins.
But I know that due to media bias, he'll never get the votes.
And no, he certainly wouldn't. Your boy here thinks that the Philadelphia Eagles, and it pains me to say, because a gross fan base, a terrible team that I always root against. I think they're going to be in the NFC Championship.
You're really high on Jalen Hurts.
I am. I liked him when he was at Alabama before he transferred, and I don't know. I like his disposition, the athleticism there. The passing game really needs a lot of work.
So
I know.
So let me give you another bold prediction before we go to break. And this flies right in the face of your bold prediction. At some point this year, Jimmy Garoppolo will be the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, bold.
Yeah.
I like that. I want to see him go to the Rams. It wouldn't happen. They wouldn't trade him in that division. But if they would, they'd have him go to the suck Seahawks. But that thing, all right, little bit of bold, spice, some rim on the old Bloody Mary, if you will. Matt Stafford plays like half the season. That tendonitis in the elbow thing, I think that's underplayed. I think that's a real problem for them. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls coming up next. Long commercial-free segment of Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dig. All right, so your calls we go here. Long commercial-free segment. Gasper and Murray, you want to join us? 617-779-0985. Howard in Randolph. You're next up here in the Sports Hub. Hey, Howard, hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
One quick point. How you doing?
Good.
Welcome back, guys. How was the party, Jim?
How was the what?
The bachelor party.
Oh, it was good. I was actually just explaining to Chris. It was very low-key. It was in Philadelphia last weekend for my buddy's bachelor party. We did a dinner at Del Frisco's in a bank vault. That was cool.
Oh, that does
sound cool. Did a casino, some Topgolf. We're old now. Like, it wasn't like what you would expect. It's my buddy's second wedding, too. So when you're in your 50s and you're getting married, like, do you want the whole shebang as if you were in your 20s? Like, please.
All right. Just one quick point. The debate has always been between Belichick and Brady, who gets more credit. Could some of that credit go to McDaniels?
Sure. Yeah, maybe. Well, look, I mean, I think that is TBD. Like, let's see how this offense looks without him this year. So, but a portion of the credit should probably go to him. I mean, look at the numbers certainly jumped with him here with Brady, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but Brady was really good with, you know, Bill O'Brien. He won an MVP, right, with Bill O'Brien
in
as
2010.
The offensive coordinator. And Josh was really good in Denver the first 6 games he won with Kyle Orton. Josh will get the most out of a quarterback. He did a great job with Matt Castle, too. But like most of these coaches, he's sort of limited by how good the quarterback is. So maybe Josh gets more credit in hindsight if he's able to elevate Derek Carr's game and take him to another level. But I'm pretty confident and comfortable with giving most of the credit to Brady and then the rest of it to Bill.
Let's go to Dan in Rhode Island, who has a bold NFL prediction for the upcoming season. Hello, Dan.
Hey, here's a juicy one. So Mike McDaniel realizes he doesn't have it with Tua. Jimmy G gets released. He gets signed. And he's starting for the Dolphins by week 4.
So, Dan, thanks for this one. Credit to Felger, who I think was at the forefront of this a few weeks back, who played out this exact same scenario. That would be juicy. That would be bold.
It would.
That would be spicy. And the nice ring you get with the old bay on the rim of a Bloody Mary. He'd be a good fit for that, and obviously there's some familiarity there from his time at San Francisco.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he would know the system. McDaniel knows what he can do. There would be, you know, comfortability with him coming in there. He knows the AFC East as well. That would make some sense if they are underwhelmed or undersold on Tua. The interesting thing there about McDaniel and him getting the job once their grand plan to bring in Peyton and Brady didn't work is that they sort of were talking about him getting that job because he could maximize Tua. So outside of a sure thing like a Tom Brady, how wedded is Chris Greer, the general manager there, who you know basically won a power struggle with Brian Flores, to Tua? Because his name is on that Tua pick. And if you're just going to abandon Tua, then it sort of looks like, okay, you know, you made a really bad pick, and the owner might say, well, I should blow you out of here because I wanted us to tank for Joe Burrow, and then there were other people in the organization who wanted to draft Justin Herbert, and you took Tua.
Where are you with him? Do you think he stinks?
I don't think he stinks. I think it's always going to be an issue with keeping him healthy. This is sort of the last chance for him to prove that he can be like a top 15 quarterback. I see sparks. I've always thought he was accurate. I thought he would be better than this really in the pros. I say this, he always finds a way to beat the Patriots. He hasn't lost to the Patriots yet.
I know, that part's crazy. I have, outside of Mike Vick, I have a real lefty quarterback bias.
That's right.
And I hate how the ball comes out. There is a Tim Tebow-ish full can of paint pushy thing that I don't like at times, especially on those intermediate passes. I look at that, I'm like, ugh, like, that's not going to work. But I don't know. Like, there is part just for, like, the spite factor, I'd like to see it work. Because people, you know, they dump all over him around here. I guess I get into that as well. But I don't know if you just look at the numbers. I mean, they are kind of similar to Mac Jones.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's, you know, there's not a huge sample size for Mac, obviously. But, yeah, the numbers aren't that far off.
I would go to Cal in New Mexico here. But, hey, what do you know? This is frozen.
I'll bring him up.
Would you be, Rob? Thanks.
Thanks, B. Rob.
Yeah, Cal in New Mexico. Go ahead. You're next here on Casper Murray.
Firstly, let me say you guys are the best.
Hey, thanks.
I listen to you every weekend, and you really are great. So my question is, what does Stephen Ross and Calvin Ridley have in common?
Well, they've both been suspended by the league.
Oh, they both have tampered with integrity of the game?
My answer is nothing. They have nothing in common. Calvin Ridley, by the way, there's a great article by a guy named Paul Newberry, an AP reporter this morning. Calvin Ridley gets suspended for a season, costing him $11 million in salary, and he was betting on games. He wasn't throwing games. Stephen Ross gets...
basically until October, $1.5 million,
which is like 0.00001% of his net worth, and it's just. I think this is the worst scandal, and I think this makes Inflategate and Spygate look like small potatoes.
Cal, I'm going to let you go on that because your phone's not that great. But thanks for listening.
Phone? I was like, oh man, I'm having problems over here. I'm having a hard time hearing him.
The worst scandal like in league history, or you know, it's up there. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, look, they were definitely trying to tank games there. I have no doubt in my mind that Stephen Ross definitely went to Brian Flores. Like, why would he make that up? Like, I really wish there would have been a real investigation there. Open up those books. Let's see how dirty it is in the league. But that was never going to happen. So this punishment, which I actually do think, if you're just looking at it in terms of the tampering. $1.5 million for him. He's out. He can't be around the league until the middle of October, whatever it is. I mean, that's really a slap on the wrist. But the first round draft pick, to take a first round draft pick from any team as part of a punishment, I've always believed, Chris, is really designed to try to like help cripple your franchise a bit. So to lose those couple of draft picks, including a first, like I think that is a harsh punishment if you're just aligning it with the tampering. Violations. But really what this is about is we're going to sweep the other thing under the rug, and it's a don't look over here, look here type of thing. Like that, I think it just feels like a shell game on behalf of the league. And for Roger Goodell and for them, the league, to put out that missive the other day, say like, oh, Brian Flores was just joking. Like, oh, please.
Yeah.
If you have any semblance of common sense, you know that that's going on there, and they just swept this under the rug, and the punishment was more about that than it was the tampering.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I think that sort of turns Brady a little bit into collateral damage of that deal, because they really end up fixating and focusing on in the announcement on the tampering, when it's really more, the punishment's really more about the tanking. And we've seen this sort of before. It's like the Deflategate punishment was really more about Spygate than
totally.
It was about Deflategate. And that happens. The NFL operates that way. But for the NFL to admit publicly that an owner instructed one of the coaches to tank completely undermines the credibility of their product. It is so damaging to their product that it's something they simply cannot acknowledge. And that's what I think you're seeing there with that Stephen Ross situation. They know what really happened, but to acknowledge that is crippling to their product.
All right, quick headlines here with yours truly, and then we'll get back and get into the second hour of Gasper and Mar. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. We'll further expound on that whole story and how the people around here, I think the lunatic fringe, certain segment of Patriots fans now look at Tom Brady, which to me is nuts. We'll get to that after the headlines here on Gasper and Mar on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, hour number two of Gasper and Murray here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Coming to you from the, well, we'll call it the temporary Town Fair Tire Studio here in soon to be torn down building here in Dorchester, of which I hope I am part of, that I get to watch and celebrate and clap and cheer as I watch this building turned into dust. I said weeks ago, Chris, that the station should hold a raffle where we get to pay $10 each ticket.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.